Okay, so who wants to start reading and then we'll pick up people from there?
How does the universe work, do you know? And if you know, would that in any way change the self and life you're living? If so, how might that change the self and life you're living? And if it wouldn't actually change your life, why bother knowing how the universe works? Well, let's see.
I think that's one of those rhetorical statements.
Yeah, well,
so he's
going to answer it, so.
Yeah.
I think that Karen is next, yes?
Karen's in the kitchen.
Karen's in the kitchen with... Okay, so... So I will read 98. To discover how the universe works, as in my life with Jacobo, and in every life since, is quite correct, but all wrong. For despite everything you see and believe and have experienced in your life, the universe doesn't work or do things, as in the sense of carrying on an operation or carrying through a task, unless, of course, you believe in God, which we will discuss more completely in a moment.
Huh, so that's an important distinction, that the universe, he's saying, doesn't work.
It only responds. Yeah. And we've all heard that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't care.
Doesn't care.
Doesn't carry through a task.
Doesn't do any of that stuff.
Yep.
But everybody believes that it does.
What he's been telling us for a long time about is figuring out how the universe works. He's making a very careful proviso here that it actually doesn't work.
That's right.
It is a condition.
It is a condition. So get the word.
The only thing it can do is reacting.
That's all it does.
Yeah. Hello there.
Hello.
It's Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Hey.
Okay, so is Karen back?
Yep.
I'm back.
Okay, then you can read
99.
The next one.
99. The universe exists as a condition within which you do things or work. And ever should you discover how the universe works, that is how you work. Not how the universe works. The universe is the condition or state that is presented in which you exist.
That is so fundamental and so profound. So we went through a series of discussions over time that virtually everything was a thing. Does that statement there then suggest that the universe, we can no longer, or I can no longer, refer to it as a thing?
Well, you'd have to define thing.
Well, I think the context that I remember, and that's just, that'll be not, I'm not going to suggest Roger said this, but as I remember it, it was that anything that we can perceive, it's a thing. And then we should deal with it as concrete and as something that exists.
So,
thingness to
so
everything.
When you think about that, what is the universe to you? Because is the universe the planets and the stars and all that kind of stuff? Or is it something else?
I think that's an important question, because if I just think of the sun and the planets and the Milky Way, there is a thingness to all of that.
Yep.
But in the context of number 99, passage 99, I don't think of the stars and universe and galaxies and things like that. I think basically of existence, the universe. In this context, is I guess go back to the word, it's a condition. It's not a thing, it's that thing, the context within which I can have existence.
Okay, so what you're saying is the universe is everything minus things.
Minus what?
Things.
Yeah.
Anybody else have anything to say on that?
For sure, I cannot touch it as other things.
Yeah, but you can't touch the sun and it's a thing.
Yeah, that might be distance-wise, or
if you touch the sun,
or
you
temperature-wise,
you would just go poof.
Yeah.
Anybody else have a take on this? Okay, then we're on to 100, which the next person would be, I believe, Patrick.
Oh. Number 100, a condition, as in the condition of the universe, is something that exists as a requisite for something else taking effect. And that something else taking effect is you. There, okay.
Is the environment a condition? So the environment isn't a thing, it's sort of a collection of systems that all interact. Is that another example of a condition? So when the environment is correct, flowers bloom.
I'd say yes.
Yeah.
Anybody else have a take on that?
Nothing in addition, no. No.
Okay.
In a sense, the question Karen asked, that the environment, following the reasoning that's laid out so far, would be part of the condition, that the universe is a condition, and that condition, as it said in the earlier passage, it's the requisite for something else, and ultimately, it's the something else that's taking effect is us. So, I think that Rogers always said that we know everything relative to ourselves, and so even we can identify and say something to the environment, the trees, the water, the rain, the snow, the mountain, the environment. But no two people will ever know that environment exactly the same. And this goes back to that, and that something else taking effect is you. That even the environment will be to me as I am to the environment, and it's what Karen or Misty perceive and know their environment to be will be relative to themselves. So I think the connection goes back again to the condition, and that's the requisite for everything else.
Okay. Okay, then Sharon, right?
I'm not sure what my dog is barking about right now, so shush, shush, shush.
One oh one.
Yes.
Just as the speed of light is a condition, not a function. The universe is a condition, so you can exist.
Yeah.
See, that's another really.
Why is the speed of light a condition?
Well, do you know the difference between a condition and a function? What's a function?
Yeah, maybe that's what I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Speed of light is a formula, and for me a formula is a function. It does function that way.
Well, function is a doing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's condition?
The functioning is doing.
And what is condition?
But
a being. It's just a, it's not a doing, it's an existence.
Is the speed of light not a doing?
No, it's a condition of light.
But
it's a property of light.
The speed is a condition. The light does the speed.
Can you remember that wind and that blowing is the wind?
Yeah.
And so that the light is the speed of light is a condition.
A condition of light.
It's not a function of light, it's a condition of light.
So light is the moving.
Light is light. And its condition of light is that speed. It's not.
Well, the universe is a condition of a human.
Yeah. So you keep on.
Say that again, Sharon, please.
Universe.
The universe is a condition of the human.
Ah, okay. Yes. Yeah.
So what? So far, we've not proven that we exist anywhere else. But our universe.
We can't even prove that we exist.
That's correct. Yeah.
That's right.
But the universe says is a condition for us. If we exist.
Yes. Anybody else have any more questions about that?
I'm not sure if I get it. I do get that the function is a doing.
So would it be another thing to see the color of light as a condition, or the temperature of light, or the smell of light as a condition?
Yeah, all of those are conditions of light.
Are they?
Well, don't forget, Simone, that a function is a doing. Is the universe a doing?
Yeah. No.
So it's a condition.
Yes.
Is light a doing?
No, but the speed, I think, is a doing. Is that not correct?
No, the speed is a condition of the light. It's not a doing. It's just defining it. It's not
the measurement.
Yeah, it's not a doing. It's defining light.
Light moving is the doing. The speed isn't that a measurement of the moving of the movement?
Right. It's part of, and that is part of what we define as light. If you define something, that's not a doing.
Yeah, and going back to as many basics as I can remember here, we were always cautioned not to talk about the laws of the universe. The universe doesn't have laws, the universe and everything in it does what it does. Not, it is no law compelling it to do anything. So if there was, say, that if light traveling at the speed of light is not a law of the universe, that's what light, that's a condition of light. Same with the speed of sound, it's a condition of sound. There's no, the universe doesn't have laws, it has conditions. And that's what light does, that's what sound does.
Right, good point.
And to see the speed of light, it needs an observer that observes speed at this point and speed at another point.
Yeah, so what you
light, not speed. The speed is
so then you can accurately determine the condition of light.
Right, yeah. I think I get it. Okay, thank you.
Then since you have it, why don't you read the next one?
102. In much the same way, you, personal being you, work or function in a state or a condition of eternal privileged being you.
That's a mouthful.
It is. A little bit to wrap your head around, isn't it?
But it goes back on number, what number is it?
101.
165 to 1.
What?
Where he explains, I mean page 165, where he explains all the selves.
Yeah,
all the selves are at conditions and we have to effectuate them.
Yep. And so
that
I think to carry some language between the two of them, when he says personal being you work or function, you have been the condition of eternal privilege being you effectuates personal being you. And you function.
Yes.
Okay. Anybody else have anything to say on that one? Okay, Susan, could you read the next one?
Did you call on me?
Yes.
Yes.
103.
I'm driving down this winded road.
Okay. Don't
won't
read.
Expect you to read them.
Andrew, would you read?
Andrew. Yeah. Which one is it again?
103, please.
If we declare that the universe is to you as you are to the universe, is that how the universe works? If you are a Buddhist and I am a Christian, then the universe is Christian to me and Buddhist to you. Which means the universe is to me as I am to the universe. But since it is Buddhist to you, it is also as I am not to the universe. Right?
Yes, that's a nice piece to add.
Yep.
I had never thought of that before.
The whole thing or a particular part?
That last part about it's also
as I am not.
As I am not to the universe.
Yep.
If the universe can be to a Buddhist as a Buddhist is, and I'm a Christian, then I always leave off that last part. I just say, well, that's maybe I don't, I never even thought of that. It's not a matter of just assuming it's true. But it's more complete, let's say, if we declare the universe is to you as you are to the universe, you might also add, it is also as you are not.
I agree.
Yeah, because it does not withhold anything from anybody.
Yeah.
So it can react to the Buddhist, and it can react to a Christian, it can react to me or to you.
Yeah.
But it does not react to me as a Buddhist.
That's right.
Right. Yeah.
Although Jehovah's Witnesses try.
Yeah. Yes, they're very trying. Okay, so do I hear Angela on there?
Yeah, I'm here, but I am cutting out sometimes, so.
Yeah, I heard the feedback a little bit.
Let me know if it's too bad. I'll just have to hang up.
Okay, so for right now...
What happened to your phone? I don't know. I went to Bali, came back, and it's been like this ever since. So I will buy a new one. I went yesterday and priced them, but they didn't have any dumb phones like I have in Thailand. I didn't want to buy a smartphone. I just wanted a little cheap dumb phone until I got back to Hawaii, but they didn't have any. So I'm going to have to get
on. Get one from Amazon.
They have those?
I bet they do. They got everything.
Okay, so...
Okay, I'll look into it.
Why don't you read 104?
Okay, I'll do it. Instead of judging people or things, discover the condition in which they function and see if they are in harmony with themselves. Also know that when you judge another, you are not in harmony with yourself.
Yeah. I really like that one. That's extremely practical in the sense of, just in the sense of, like, don't judge is always, you're always struggling not to judge. But if you focus on doing something different, like seeing the condition in which a person functions, then that alleviates a lot of the problem right there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a leap here in a way that how would we look at someone that I'm tending to want to judge to determine or discover the condition in which they function. Anybody got any ideas on that?
Say that again.
Sure.
Could you repeat your question, Patrick?
Well, the 104 suggests that we should be able to discover the condition that someone is functioning in. And in doing that, we, instead of judging, we would discover the condition. So I'm asking, how do we discover the condition in which they function?
Anybody have any ideas?
What if it's a guy that's stealing food all the time? And we have a judgment about people who steal stuff. And then you find out that he's really stealing it because he has small children at home that have nothing to eat. And he's in harmony. He's okay with stealing, if that's what he has to do. I mean, I don't know if this in any way qualifies as an example, but I could see where once we knew that that's how he functions, he's functioning as a father. And
yeah,
we're judging
that,
him.
Even in that, he might not be happy with his condition. I mean, he may be willing to do it if he doesn't think he has any other option.
So what's the condition?
Yeah, he may not be in harmony with himself.
But what's his condition?
Well, so what to me, the operative word here is discover. which means that, you know, it's not a... I think you can start... Personally, here's what I think it's saying. It's like, goes back to the thing of, what does this say? What does this event reveal about how a person's living their life? Well, you really can't know. You have, you know, until you know how they feel about it, you can stand and you can maybe, like, start thinking, well, you know, could be this, could be that, could be that. I need to ask. And so then to discover, actually discover, you would have to go confirm what you think might be going on.
Right. You
and
either
when they
have
talk to you about how they're living.
Yeah, or else you have to really know that person.
Yeah, yeah. Because I mean, the average person stealing food out of the grocery store, you're not going to know a whole lot about that. You could make several, like, well, it was always like doing dreams, to me anyway. Roger would say, you know, don't ask a question, you know, without, you know, that you have an idea of what the answer, well, I guess he would say knowing what the answer is, but be willing to give it up. So you just, you start a discovery process.
What I'm getting at is how I want to make sure I understand what we're talking about when we're referring to condition in this context. I'm set out to judge the guy who's stealing food. And I agree with Andrew, that got to engage and ask questions and be somehow or other be involved to be able to discover the condition in which they function. But when could somebody hypothesize what a condition may be that someone's stealing food from the grocery store?
To me, any condition is the same thing to me as what is it like, as like how they're living their life. So since sometimes people struggle with saying, okay, what does that mean, like how they're living their life? I don't know what that means. Okay, so how do they believe life is? How have they set their life up to be? Are things with them, against them? You know, how do they move the pieces in place? Don't look at how to solve the problem, but what is the picture they put together that they're living? I think that's what the condition might be.
Aren't those only two conditions you just named, Andrew? They're either working with themselves resplendently or against themselves, resistant. So there's really only two conditions, with or against themselves. And that simplifies it. And it's, I think after that it gets pretty obvious. And if we judge them, then that means we're not in harmony with ourselves. We're resisting in some sense in judging them. Does that make sense?
I mean, it's that old thing of, and I have it written around here in my room somewhere, if you're judging, then you'll never understand. And if you understand, then you wouldn't judge.
Mm-hmm. So, Andrew,
judging is a limitation of who you are.
So, Andrew, for example, if I understand what you're saying, that let's say this hypothetical person who steals food from the supermarket, they're hungry and have a firm belief that the existence is tilted against them and they're never going to be able to get ahead, and they got to take anything they can take just to survive. So that belief system
that's a
condition that they exist.
So to me, that's a starter question, what if? And then you try to confirm it. And if you're wrong, it's just like, you know, if you're actually going to engage and do the actual discovery, then you have to ask questions and understand how they've set their world up. Everybody's against me, or it doesn't matter, or, you know, there is no afterlife, so you got to, you know, survive as long as you can. Who knows?
So that's the condition we're looking for.
I get a picture of a condition from that, yeah.
Okay. That's really helpful, Amber. Thank you.
I'm ready for somebody to disagree and come up with a better alternative. I just find out.
Not me, but I'm bringing something else. In the massage, in the Osawa massage, Roger always said, when someone enters your door, you have to know their declared self. to work on that level and not on the personal level. Maybe the condition is also the eternal self level.
Level?
It kind of is.
Yeah, allow me that. I know that they are all the same, but...
Context.
To more find out about condition, it's the context of this person, yes. Yeah, context is a good word. To me. For getting an image. It's not the person standing in front of me, it's all the around also.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
I'm expressing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Personally, Simone, I've been thinking about this one for like 2 weeks, or was it last week or whatever. So, remember you shared with us the situation or the circumstances about the house and your sister and her boyfriend and all, yeah?
Right now?
No, do you remember that a couple weeks ago?
Yes, I do.
And so... You know, our tendency has been to, and all of us, you know, we've tended to go and, you know, try to say, oh, well, you know, let's look at the problem and solve the problem. We look at the circumstances, what you did, what she did. But what occurred to me over the last week was, if I take a big step back and look at those circumstances like an image, then that began telling me about how you set your life up in a way, things that... You know, how they're relating, how they're working, are things with you or against you or whatever it is. And that begins to give me a picture of the condition that you're living as a loner being.
Yes.
I agree, Andrew.
I think
so,
that...
So, you know, it
does.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've struggled for a long time with what does that say about how you're living your life, and I'm kind of like, yeah, what the hell does that really mean? But that was a way that I thought maybe I could start getting more to the underlying image the person's living or condition and not get into the acts and facts.
Yeah.
Right. That's why I came up with the massage, yes.
Okay. And I think that can be very enlightening. You can dink around with the circumstances after that, but just knowing the person and how they've set the condition they've set up that they believe, you can learn a whole lot or understand a whole lot.
I understand, yes. Yeah, I agree, absolutely.
So keep it simple, I guess.
And not only you did maybe understand me more precisely, also I did understand me more precisely, how I function, and how it serves me or not. Yeah.
You know, because it comes down to, and I'm not often great at this, but there have been moments where I've taken a look and said, you know, why do I believe that? I don't have to believe that, you know, like... Years and years ago, I thought, oh, I always think I'm unlucky. What would happen if I just believe I was lucky? And for a couple weeks, boy, I was really lucky.
Okay.
I did the same thing at one time, Andrew. I found it quite interesting.
What do you mean at one time?
Well, I did that same experiment. Years and years ago, I thought I was unlucky, and I said, well, what if I just change the way I think?
Uh-huh.
And then I won a canoe, I won a telephone, I mean, it was just like a whole bunch of things started happening. It was very interesting.
Yeah. I, you know, it's stupid that I don't maintain that more, but you know, it gives you a great sense of the depth of yourself and how, like, you could literally feel your feelings and beliefs working like gears in your universe in a way.
Yep.
Oh. By the way, isn't that one of the exercises we did some time ago? Setting your condition in the morning when you get up and go with that in mind through the day?
Yep.
Sure.
That same kind of exercise, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good exercise. I like it.
Yeah.
And start with something simple, like whatever you like. Like, okay, so I'm lucky today. Why would I even think I was unlucky? And no matter what comes up, you have to think of it at least to start as, you can't go back to, oh, I missed the bus, that's unlucky. You have to say, now how might this be lucky? Because, you know, da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
Don't get into the judgment of being unlucky again.
Absolutely. I remember when I was doing that experiment, I went to this opening of this new place. And this is about the phone. And they had this beautiful two-tone phone. It was really fancy for back then. And I said to him, well, can I take it now? Because I'm going to win it. And the guy says, no, you can't take it. He calls up a couple hours later and says, sheepishly, you won it. I can't believe it. So it was just like, it was just so surreal. Let's put it that way. It was just like, yeah, I knew I had. And he's just going, yeah, how'd you know that? And I'm just going, because I decided I would.
You know, there's so much information sometimes in all this. I really feel like, you know, it was worthwhile just to stop and do, like, some experiment or some work, like, with a couple of these. You know, this should be a homework assignment, like, we come back, give a field report next week. What did you, you know, how did you, just, what condition did you set for yourself and what happened?
Sounds good to me.
Well, we can do that. I mean, I decided to win the lottery.
Yeah, great.
You got to keep that going all the time, though. I've decided that on Thursday.
Really.
I've decided that on Thursday I'm going to eat turkey.
There you go.
Is Greg beside you?
No, it's just that Thursday is Thanksgiving. That's why I was being funny.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay, so anybody else have anything more to say on that one?
Yeah, I did too. So when I read this one, it got me thinking, you know, about judgment. And, you know, personally, guys, this is just an idea that I'm formulating over a period of time, but I think, I'm beginning to think there might be a whole other reason for not judging. Like in, you know, in Forever Living it was, oh, you're not supposed to judge or whatever, don't judge, or if you're judging. But, you know, I think that if you start judging, you lose your awareness or your sense of your self as an eternal being or your condition of godness.
Well, it depends on what you're talking about as judging. I mean, we have to have judgments in our life, like, am I going to get out of bed or aren't I?
No, I know. So I mean the good, bad ones that stir up all the emotions and upset.
Okay. Anybody have anything to say on that?
No, I agree.
Okay. So are we ready to move on, or does anybody else have something to say? Okay, Karen?
Here we go.
Next.
105.
God and the universe merely provide you the conditions you need to function as you truly desire. For an infinite God cannot...
Oh, truly deserve is written in my book.
Truly deserve, thank you.
Oh.
Okay. God and the universe merely provide you the conditions you need to function as you truly deserve. For an infinite God cannot function. It can only be a condition for you. In fact, the nature of God and the universe are as the nature of you. Do you understand in this that God and the universe are conditions and you are functioning?
We always used to say God cannot particularize.
Yeah.
itself.
True.
Is that also a quality of condition? A condition cannot particularize. Only I can particularize.
Well, no, because condition can be like the condition of the environment. The wind is blowing, the rain is coming down. Those are all conditions.
All right. And I cannot function it, yes.
When you can, you let me know, okay? We can make a lot of money.
Yeah, okay. I do that.
Can we back, just stay here for a bit on the 105?
Sure.
My first sentence, God and the universe merely provide the conditions you need to function. Is it really necessary to add as you truly deserve?
Well, it's as you perceive the universe, so yes.
So if I perceive the universe as a mean, nasty place...
You're going to have a mean, nasty universe.
Yep, and I will think I deserve mean, nasty conditions.
Yep.
Okay.
Anything else on that, Patrick?
Nope, I'm fine with that now.
Okay. So, we're on to, what, 106?
Yep.
In the same way, God and the universe are not unconditional love functioning. Unconditional love is a condition which you can actively function or not.
Mm-hmm.
You are the director. That's basically what it's telling you.
So unconditional love is a condition.
Yes.
And that's the important thing here. And we can actively function it or not.
That's right.
And so God or the universe don't do the function.
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay, Patrick, read 107, if you would, please.
107. There is no function of God or the universe for you to understand or get in harmony with.
And get in harmony with.
There is only your function for you to understand and get in harmony with. Your functioning is the communion of personal privileged being, or this can be expressed as your functioning in the context of your privileged being. So I don't have to figure out what the hell God is up to or the universe is up to. But there's only my functioning to understand and get in harmony with.
Yeah, you don't have to be peaceful or loving or unless that's your way.
Unless that's my determination, my desire, my choice.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay, Sharon, you're on.
108. You are functioning the condition that is God and the universe.
I always look at that as you are the conductor. This beautiful big symphony
day.
And all these players and all these things that can play instruments and do what you want, and you are the one that deem how they play and what they do and how loud and how fierce or anything else in your life.
No.
please choose your score.
How fast, how slow, everything. How happy, how sad. Of course, you know me, I always look at everything like music, so.
Yes. Part of your context.
Yep. Okay, we're on to, who are we on to? We're on to Simone.
Maybe me, huh? Yeah. Yep. 109. Much of your problems and difficulties today is that you believe yourself to be functioning with the context of how God or the universe function. Instead of your functioning within the context of yourself, all within the environment or condition of and the universe as you desire and function them to be. Yeah. The first part says to me, don't go in harmony with God and the universe. And the second part, do as you truly desire. That's your condition.
In other words, function the universe as you desire it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Be who you are.
Right.
I would imagine Susan's still going down a bumpy road. So we'll go back to Andrew.
I just walked in the house and I'm not functioning very good.
Okay.
I'm in good condition now.
Okay. Andrew, okay. 110.
Okay. Do not contemplate or seek to discover how the universe works, or even how God works, for they both work as you do. Therefore, contemplate or seek to discover how you work, or how you work your beliefs and thoughts. Yes, mm-hmm. That's what we were saying earlier. How
yep.
you work your beliefs and thoughts.
All putting it onto you.
I'm pretty damn lucky. I'd rather be lucky than good.
A lot of guys would
say that.
I believe
in magic.
Okay, 111, that would be Angela. I have a feeling she fell off again. Okay. Karen?
Okay.
Are you in harmony with yourself? Are you working for or against yourself? So, funny that Angela missed that, because that's what exactly what she was saying a little while ago.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? So what's going on in her universe? That would be interesting to find out. Okay. What are we at? 112. The condition of the universe in which the universe is to you as you are unto the universe is your sufficiency in life. Nothing else is necessary. Therefore, you need take no thought as to how the condition of the universe will be, for it will always be to you as you are to the universe. You can relax and be content in that assurance of condition and its condition of assurance. That's pretty straightforward, unless anybody has a question.
I don't have a question. I'm awful reluctant to say what I'm about to say.
Well, spit it out.
yeah. nags in the corner of my mind, what if it's not true? I have to hedge my bets.
What if it's not true? Okay, well, let's say that you live life the way you truly desire and have it go that, and it's great. Then have you won or lost? And if you live life just as the wind blows and struggling and everything else, have you won or lost? Which way would you really like it to be is really the question that goes on here.
Yeah, that's what it gets down to, doesn't it?
Yep, it really does. I mean, we really...
One thing that might...
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, one thing that might help you see that is, if you wonder if it's true, why is that? I mean, do you look around and think that it's not true because you've never experienced it that way? Maybe that's demonstrating exactly that it is working that way, because you don't believe it.
That's the magic of it all, isn't it?
I think it's really important to get a handle on the condition, if you don't mind, borrow the word here, the condition that you're living right now, because I think then you can get a sense of it working. But if you try to like change it or do something that you can't even at first even sense yourself living, I think it's a bit harder. It's not impossible. I find it personally real easy when I could see myself actually believing that I wasn't lucky and looking around at all the things that didn't, you know, luck out. It was real easy to kind of click that change and go, oh, yeah, sure, why do I even believe that? I am lucky. And just watch the things roll.
It is that simple.
I mean, maybe it's just as important to see that right now you see that it's not that way because that's, you're living that it's not that way. And that's all right. That's how powerful you are.
That's exactly it, Andrew. Exactly.
Okay.
Sorry, Misty, you were going to say something. Misty, you were going to say something profound. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I don't remember anymore. So.
Sorry.
Okay, I guess we're up to what, Patrick?
Number 113. Bad things do not happen to good people, for that is not the conditions of the universe. But bad things certainly happen, but not to good people. That just reinforced everything we were talking about.
Okay, Sharon?
114. Things out of harmony with you occur when you are out of harmony with yourself. Amen.
No questions there, huh?
No, it's the truth, damn it.
Yeah, damn it. Okay, Simone.
115. As the universe is to you as you are unto the universe, so is God. God is to you as you are to God. In this, God is a condition of godness in which you function.
There's goodness.
This number helped me understand more my resistance to the word God.
That God is a condition?
Yes. Okay. It doesn't matter the word, it's just the condition that I function.
Okay.
the question mark here that
should be godness, huh?
Is a condition of godness.
Well,
it should be condition of godness, right? Yeah.
Well, that's what I wondered. I don't have the answer.
Yeah.
It is.
Did I read something else?
No, it said you read condition of godness, and it's written as goodness.
But it is godness.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay.
You read it correctly.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, Susan?
Alrighty, thanks.
You with us yet? Maybe not. Okay, Andrew, 116, please.
Okay. Let's see. Do not seek the grace of God or the grace of the universe. Seek the grace of yourself. That's all I got to say on that.
Yeah, really, it pretty well sums it up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
In this context, what does grace mean?
Whatever it means, it's consistent, isn't it? Grace is to you as you see it. You would have to define what grace is to you.
Yes, you know, being brought up a little Catholic boy, grace was this good stuff that God decided or not to dispense.
Okay, so if you look at it through those eyes, it still makes perfect sense, does it not?
So this is saying don't expect God to be doing that, and don't look for it from the universe. Look for it for yourself.
If that's what you're seeking, then look for it in yourself, yes.
Okay.
Okay, did we get Angela back yet? Okay. Karen, would you do 117?
Yep. According to tradition, divine love is the motivating plan behind all that God does. Well, grace is what God is free to do, and is indeed what God is free to do, and is indeed what God is free to do, is indeed what God does, which brings delight and happiness. Grace is favor and kindness. However, being infinite God as a condition actually cannot function. Only you can function for this condition of God, as you truly desire, and bring grace to yourself.
A really delightful expansion on my answer to the question.
And he actually defined grace for you there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 118. An infinite intelligence.
Infinite intelligence. Such as God.
Okay.
Oh, is it my turn?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. If you really want to read this one, it must be important to you, so go for it.
Okay. An infinite intelligence such as God does not govern or function the universe. Infinite intelligence is a condition of the universe that means only what you mean it to be.
This kind of goes back to your question before, right?
Yeah, it does. Yep.
Must be why you wanted to read it so badly.
Thank you.
Okay, so 119. If you trust an infinite God or infinite intelligence or even an infinite universe and not your finite self, you are working against yourself. And if you trust your privileged being or illuminated being and not your personal being, you are struggling against yourself, and that will defeat yourself.
Hmm.
Any questions on that?
No.
I have an exclamation mark here.
Okay. Okay, Sharon, would you do 120, please?
Yes. If you surrender yourself to spirit, to God and oneness, to the conditions of the universe, to your thoughts and emotions, or even to your beliefs, you lose everything. Yep. I don't see me anywhere.
Yep. Basically saying if you do that, you lose.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
Go on.
Yeah. Simone.
121. That which you want to be or become or believe is the very condition in which you function today. Are you truly willing to give up being in order to become merely a condition of being? Probably not. However, you need to be aware that only
that
makes sense and has meaning and purpose in a condition of being. However, you need to be aware. Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so how
can you read that again?
You want to read it again?
That. Yeah. That which you want to be or become or believe is the very condition in which you function today. Are you truly willing to give up being in order to become merely a condition of being? Probably not. However, you need to be aware that only make sense.
Okay, the way you'd say that in English is, however, you need to be aware that only makes sense and has meaning and purpose in a condition of being.
Okay. Well,
so the emphasis is on that, which you just spoke about.
Yeah.
You need to be aware of that.
Okay.
Everything you just said.
And that is that I am merely a condition of being. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I understand that.
Okay, well, let's take it slowly and tear it apart, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the first part is that which you want to be or become or believe is the very condition in which you function today. Are you truly willing to give up being in order to merely to become merely a condition of being? So what does that say? Anybody got any idea of what that's really saying?
Are you willing to drop everything that you've decided you were for the way the universe is showing you you are? It's bringing you this information because you're creating the way you are or are not by the conditions in which you're living your life.
To me, so it's, are you willing to be active or passive?
That's the way it is to me, too.
Okay.
Are you willing to live by default? Or are you willing to be the master of your own life? That makes sense?
It's starting to now. I'm just parsing the language here again.
Mm-hmm.
So anything I ever want to be or become or believe is the very condition in which I function today. So that's the condition of being right there. Correct?
Yes.
And to
put yourself in that condition and you will be that condition.
And it's and that that recognizing that I am that condition of being has meaning and purpose for me. That what's important is the condition of being, not the actual being. Being is
it's the you.
Yeah.
It's the you-ness.
And it brings up something else then. I thought there's conditioned being and then there's the functioning. So
we function to be the condition.
Yeah, we're functioning. Okay. So what's throwing me off, are you willing to give up being? I don't know what being is. Are we willing to give up being? And you say probably not.
It's our idea of it's all our prejudices, our judgments, right?
Well, you have to look again
that
at
being?
What is a condition?
The environment that I function in.
Okay. So basically it's asking, are you willing to give up who you are in order to merely be a condition of being? It's almost like saying, are you willing to give up your life in order to be a condition of being? Because that's what you're giving up.
You know, somehow this, I could be wrong about this, this reminds me a little bit of Roger's ongoing, what do you want to call it, debate with Bob Vogelsang and other meditating people who's talked about just being as the greatest, you know, condition of enlightenment or whatever. I could be totally wrong about that, but it's just...
Yeah, it does smack of that,
state,
doesn't
the
it?
The passive state of just being.
That makes sense to me, Andrew.
I mean, a lot of this stuff, you know, over time has just kind of gotten so... They have history on these things. They've just become so incorporated in the language and into the, I don't want to say this, the writings and whatever, the material that's not fully explained. That's just my opinion. That reminds me of that. He could be talking about anything else.
Well, I think that I agree. And sometimes he's assuming that you know a lot of stuff when he writes these things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. These writings to me are very they're advanced.
They're very advanced, yes.
For people, I mean, just advanced in the sense of people really have been around for a while to understand this. But, you know, in a way, you kind of got to remember a lot of these things that are now just, standard forever livingisms came about through a lot of discussions with regular folks. That's how these ideas got expressed and solidified.
Uh-huh. I agree.
Well, I think I'm settled into something that I think I understand now, and the emphasis is on has meaning and purpose, is being the condition of being. Yeah, that's that makes sense what Andrew said, that maybe the being here is that one of those things that Roger has had a problem with, that these gurus that wanted people to focus on being.
Yeah, and what he's saying is if you do that, basically you're giving up your life.
Yeah.
Anybody that sits there and meditates during that period of time when they're meditating, they've basically given up their life.
Okay. Yeah, they do not function the condition anymore.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for taking the time with me, guys.
No problem. I think it's important that we do that whenever anybody is somewhat stuck on something. Okay, so who is supposed to read at this point? I've lost track.
That was Simone.
That was Simone. So is Susan back yet?
Oh.
No. Okay.
Susan?
I guess it's Andrew.
I'm listening.
I thought I heard her. Yeah, there she is.
She's listening.
I'm listening, but I don't have that computer up on or anything.
So it's Andrew.
Sorry.
Uh-oh.
Did we lose Andrew?
No, I'm here.
Okay.
122.
I'm just trying to refocus my eyes. Okay, so 122, thank you. Without a condition or context of... Wait.
What?
Without a condition or
being.
Context of... Being makes no real sense.
Start over again.
Oh, sorry. Being.
Being.
It's that word. I just was being, so I didn't even do anything. Being without a condition or context of being makes no real sense. And a condition of being without being is not alive or active.
Mm-hmm. Make sure everybody understands that part, because then he's going to say then. Does everybody understand what that's saying?
I do.
Not necessarily.
Okay, Patrick, would you explain it to Sharon, please? They're going to anymore if I do that, right?
I think it confirms what I think Andrew was saying, that Roger's sense of when people talk about the value of simply being. So he's saying being, simply being, without a condition or context of being, makes no sense. And that in the absence of a condition, without at the same time being, is not, it's saying that you can have a condition, but if you're not being, you're not alive or active. So those to be paired, you can't be without a condition, and you can't be a condition without being, or you're not alive. So the being and the condition have to be paired all the time.
Okay. Any more questions at that little part? Okay, Andrew.
Yeah.
In the same way, a personal being without the condition of a privileged being makes no sense. And a privileged being without a personal being is not alive or active.
Paired or communioned, as Roger would say.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Where?
He said paired.
Where would he put communioned?
He said that he was always asking us if we want to truly live our full selves, we communion, live a communion of our personal being and our privileged being.
Yeah. Okay.
And I guess we're up to Karen.
123. So you don't realize it, you have an episode. Like my life with Jacoba, is that how I say it?
Jacoba.
That best illustrates and brings alive the ongoing story of your eternal self in life. For which, you might say, portrays the underlying guiding principle or condition of yourself in life today. Have an episode. Does that mean this life that I'm doing right now is an episode?
Well, what he's talking about, I believe, here is that you have one that was so impactful, a life episode, that was so impactful that everything that you did after that revolves around what occurred in that episode. So for him, figuring out how the universe works is the thing that he has carried forward and is all-encompassing in all of his lives after that.
So for Karen, that might be the cabin boy?
It might be, because as he always said, the first story that you got in a reading from him was the one that was most impactful for you,
right,
of most importance. Anybody else have a question?
And has, yeah, and has a connection to your life today.
Well, yeah, in every way, because basically it's set up what you're all about.
Yeah.
This reminds me of about a year or two ago, somewhere in that time, in the last 2 years, he had us do like an assignment where we would, write a past life that that most clearly expressed. I can't remember the assignment, but I did one, and it's funny because I was just thinking about it a couple days ago. It's really stuck with me as like part of my self-image now of just like the life story that I have, what's going on. And it's funny too, because at the time he said, oh, that's all like, self-deluding or whatever he called it. But it really, I mean, the assignment worked. It really has stuck with me. And I'm just saying that standing at the bus stop, I think about that and it really makes sense of what I'm doing. Like big life. Oh, yeah. That's what I'm doing in my life. Still doing that. I wonder if it's one of those things that you really have to experience to have it become a part of you. Like a regression or something?
I don't know if you have to go to having a regression or something, because I think that if you look at your life carefully, that you can pretty well pick it out. I mean, not when you're a young kid, but as you get into your 30s, 40s, you can kind of see the essence of what that life is about. Because it would be very difficult for everybody to have a regression or a reading in order to figure that out.
My only suggestion, my only reason for saying that was because you really get to experience it. I have a little, it's interesting you say what you said there, Misty, because I have a bit of a hard time looking at my life from inside of the current life and seeing patterns and stuff. I don't know. I've just been so busy doing what I'm doing.
Well, perhaps you need to speak with somebody else that can see you from a different viewpoint.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
But does that mean then that I am as they see me? That I am not as I am to me?
No, because what you're going to do is take out of that who you really believe that you are. You're going to probably throw away some of it and hang on to others, because some of it speaks to you and some of it does not. And when when it speaks to you, then you know that it resonates with you, and that is who you are.
You know, over time, I find that the more of these things that you do, dreams, day analysis, looking at your life from someone else's perspective, whatever, the more points of reference you have, it almost seems like it more confirms the pattern consistently than anything else.
I agree.
Different expressions of the same thing doesn't really
The
change.
More places on the circle that you can look into the center that is you, the different views will define that circle, that you.
Yep.
Okay. Anybody know where we are?
124.
All
right.
And whose turn is it?
Maybe Patrick?
No, I guess Karen read, I guess it's my turn. Okay.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Following the pattern of my agreements with Jacobo, I have, as I previously stated, sought a word that most completely embodies what I have heard and been shown, and what, since then, I have been visualizing and experiencing, and trying to clearly express. The closest I've come is with the word communion, or more accurately, living communion. So this is what we were talking about a little bit earlier, that it's so much about the
communion. Yeah, here it is, what we said, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Patrick, you're on.
Okay. 125. Of course, in the smallest sense, communion means communion with myself. But I didn't want my distorted beliefs and memories and justifications to get in the way of discovering how the universe works or knowing myself. To get out of this dilemma, I want to know.
I want you to know.
I don't care what you believe or have experienced, because your relationship to the universe is much more the same, must be much the same as mine. Just about to read that. To get out of this dilemma, I want you to know, and I don't care what you believe or have experienced, because your relationship to the universe must be much the same as mine.
So you is left out there?
Yeah, it is.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I'm reading this again. I didn't want my brother's name.
Why don't you read it loud, please, again?
Okay, of course, in the smallest sense, communion means communion with myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't want to distort my distorted beliefs and memories and justifications to get in the way of discovering how the universe works, or knowing myself, exclamation mark, that's an exclamation statement. To get out of this dilemma, I want you to know, and I don't care what you believe or have expressed, because you're
experienced.
What's that?
Or have experienced.
Experienced.
Oh, experience. Because your relationship to the universe must be much the same as mine. So how does he get out of his dilemma?
You know, personally, I think that might need to be edited, but I hesitate because I don't know what he's saying.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he might have left out a word and added a word or had two things.
Okay, well, let's see what we can do with this so that we make it more clear.
Yeah.
Of course, in the smallest sense,
okay,
communion means communion with myself. But I didn't want my distorted beliefs and memories and justifications to get in the way of discovering how the universe works or knowing myself. To get out of this dilemma, I want... Now, this is where the question is. I want you to know, or I want to know? To get out of this dilemma, I want to know, and I don't care what you believe or have experienced, because your relationship to the universe must be much the same as mine. That would be an incomplete sentence then.
Yeah. I think the word because is maybe not supposed to be there. To get out of this dilemma, I want, you can say, you to know, and I don't care what you believe or have experienced, your relationship to the universe must be much the same as mine. With the word we have, that's all I can make of it.
Yeah.
Well, but in that sense, that's why you can know yourself by that. Because he's saying that he needs to find out how the universe works and know himself. And then that's the two-point system that gives us definition of who we are. And so then he's saying, and you could, there, I know you can do that too, because the relationship to the universe, my relationship versus your relationship, the relationship is going to be very much the same. You may be, your takeoff on it as that being in the universe is different, but your ability to do this is the same. I don't know if that's what he's saying, but it seems to me that's what.
Andrew, would you get in touch with him and find out what he meant?
Yeah, I think I need people to help me with that, you know? If I get out of my own way and don't distort with my own memories and justifications.
I think you're getting pretty good.
The first part is too much self-referential. And then he goes out of the dilemma. Then, did I cut you off, Andrew?
Nope.
I think we can move on. I don't think we're going to solve that one tonight.
Okay. Who is up next?
I just read that one, so who's next?
So that's Sharon next.
126. If I could know you independent of your beliefs, experiences, and memories, and especially independent of your constant justifications, and if that knowing genuinely applied to me, then I would begin to understand how the universe must work for everyone, independent of what they believe and have experienced. For the universe must support all beliefs and experiences equally and not set required standards and judgments of awareness and conduct. So so he is saying that he's got, you know, in order to know the universe, he has to recognize the way his own distorted beliefs, memories, and justifications can get in the way. But if he drops that and knows the universe, he knows himself because he's got a two-point system, right?
I think
or
so.
Am I?
No, I agree.
Okay. And he's saying, I don't care what you believe, because this is the relationship the universe has to him, and it's got to be the same, because the universe isn't preferential in the way it shows itself or the way that we we create the universe to define us.
Okay.
We see it in our way. We see it in our way. The way we choose to experience it. Anyway, never mind.
I think he at one point he installed the the expression plenary.
Plenary.
Uh-huh. And this might be applicable here. The universe, when the universe works to him as it does, it must be to me as I do.
But it must be that way for everybody.
Yes. And that's the constant. It has to be, it must function for everybody the same, and that's maybe
and
the way that it
right.
only can react.
And if you don't see that, and if you don't see that, it's because your own distorted beliefs, memories, and justifications are getting in the way.
Yes.
Because it's got to be the same for everybody.
Yeah, huh? That's what I understand here.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So
good try, guys.
Yeah, right. What does it really mean, though?
I think that you just think about it. I mean, I think that's as good as any of us are going to do with this.
That's it, yeah. Huh?
Okay, who's up next?
Okay.
Me. Mankind has always projected and imposed its vision, beliefs and standards, and its judgment onto the universe. Huh?
I thought we were on 126. Did I miss that?
Yeah, no.
No,
that's
we
the
are
one
on
127.
I'm sorry.
Begin again. Mankind has always projected and imposed its visions, beliefs, and standards, and its judgments onto the universe and a god, and onto its existence and functioning as a greater power, because that's what people were experiencing. And in that, they were not experiencing the truth of the universe, but were only experiencing themselves and their beliefs and visions and standards and judgments. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anybody got a question on that one?
No, that's pretty straightforward about our power of projection.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, Andrew, you're up.
Okay. Is that 128?
Yes.
Yep.
Have you ever really, really, really considered that despite everything you think and believe, you cannot experience the universe? That it is so benign that you cannot experience a verse.
I have never really, really, really considered that.
No, neither have I. Very interesting.
I can just barely experience the outdoors.
Hey, Karen, you're up.
129. The universe permits all people to experience only themselves so they can create and live in a world of their own choosing, in a universe that fully supports them in that endeavor, not by not interfering.
If the universe interferes, we're fucked.
Yeah, generally that's what kind of usually you hear about it on the news.
What, how fucked we are?
Yes.
It seems like that's all the news is these days.
I know it.
Okay. Passage 130. In other words, there is an unspoken communion between all things that permit you to do exactly that, to live in a world of your own choosing as you desire and declare that to be.
It's all a condition that permits us to do that.
That's correct. Okay, Patrick, take it away.
No matter what, I fully support you in your world, and you fully support me. Yet, you don't have to do anything to support me. You are completely benign in my life. Your very existence alone supports me and reveals me to me, or reveals the universe I am declaring and creating to live in and experiencing and thriving or judging and striving in. That's magical. You know that? That's just friggin' magical.
Anybody have any other questions or comments on that one? Okay, Sharon, you're up.
132. If the universe functions in being benign, if the universe functions in benign ways that allow each of us to create our own world without interfering with one another, but actually supports each other. Oh, that's terrible feedback. Then, to begin, it is necessary to explain the creation of the universe in ways that do not require a creator, as demanded by language. For a creator would have...
Obviously.
I know, it's, I'm just hearing so much feedback, I'm trying to not hear it. For a creator would obviously impose intention on what was created, again, as demanded by language.
Makes perfect sense, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That old language thing. Certainly gotten us into a lot of trouble, hasn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
It gets me in trouble.
Okay, Simone.
133. It is a universe in which nothing is a miracle, or everything is a miracle, as Einstein declared.
So there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Andrew.
Okay, hang on. I grab my phone.
We're hanging.
Yep. Your life, 134, your life today is a short installment. Oh, man, somebody's off mute. Your life today is a short installment or episode of a long ongoing story. And it is that eternal story that guides, clarifies, and makes sense of your life today and provides meaning and purpose for everything you are communioned with. But what are you most fully communioned with?
What are you most...
That is the question.
Yeah, what are you most fully communioned with?
Well, I'm going to assume your physical loner body. I mean, it's up to each person, but currently I think that's where most of us reside or commune.
Yep, I think so. Anybody else have any input on this?
No, I think that Andrew was wisely speaking on behalf of most of us here. Yep.
Okay. Okay, Karen, in your court.
135. Well, modern research shows that energy and consciousness form every cell of your body, the body you are communed with, for you are not your body.
Anybody think they are their body?
Nope.
Guess not. Okay, passage 136. Energy comes from the physical universe, and consciousness comes from you. In fact, energy and consciousness in communion establishes and holds every aspect of yourself together and brings you alive. For if either the energy or consciousness is removed from you, then you, as we see and know you today, immediately cease to be. And that is what we call death. Did I lose everybody there?
Yeah, everybody just dropped.
What do you call this? Or we call this?
If either of the energy or the consciousness is separated, that is what we as humans call death. Because you no longer function. You cease to be as you were.
No.
Okay, Patrick, take it away.
137. Yes, the same research shows that the material of everyone's body is continually given off and renewed, such that in meeting people you haven't seen for 6 months or more, not one molecule in their face is what you previously saw. But thanks to each person's life tone, or underlying field of individuality, which is your personal pattern of the universe, their newly manifested energy molecules of consciousness, following your personal pattern, organize themselves into the same pattern as before. If that did not occur after a short time, you wouldn't be able to recognize yourself or your dearest friend.
Any more than Okay. Sharon.
I wrote on the side that's memory. That reassembles.
It's the glue that binds, yes. Okay, Sharon, would you do the next one?
Yes. 138. In the same way, every aspect of your life organizes according to your self-declared privileged being in your ongoing story. However, in not knowing your eternal self and story, you are living by default and memories.
Okay.
Yeah.
139, Simone?
Yep.
To expand yourself in life beyond default memories, to live as you truly desire, you need to be fully aware of your personalized privileged being pattern and life.
That's pretty much just a statement.
That's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Andrew.
The 140. Without altering your fundamental field of beliefs or memories, all subsequent changes and beliefs quickly regress. The changes fade, you return to previous attitudes and actions, and your life remains pretty much the same as before. That too is a statement. But anybody disagree with it?
No.
I do think it's interesting, though, that it's not a matter of just, oh, yeah, I'll change from I believe this to I believe that. This is like fundamental field of beliefs. I mean, that's pretty core to the self that you believe you are.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's the one. The fundamental field of beliefs is the self that you believe you are.
Yep. Okay, Karen, take it away.
So you gotta...
Oh, go ahead, Andrew.
I was just saying, you gotta change your whole concept of who you are in order to change your life. Presumably change that to a self you truly desire, and you change your life to a life you truly desire.
Okay. Anybody else?
I realized a long time ago when I was changing, I was looking at something in myself that I needed to change, that change, that dramatic is truly a death of a part of you that you have to let go of.
Well, and it
is a begin again.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
You can always begin again.
It's a begin again.
But in order to begin again, you have to do other than what you did and believed before.
Right.
Okay, so I'm going to call it right there for tonight.
What? We've got a whole 30 seconds.
Yeah, right. Good night for now.